too, Brent. You're welcome for the sun, by the way. Okay, I understand you haven't seen it since I left in January. Good to be back, and love you folks dearly. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I've been going through, down in Florida, a series at a few assemblies down there on the prayers of the Apostle Paul. And out of that, I preached a couple of weeks ago in Fort Lauderdale on this passage, and it's the heart here of the Apostle Paul for young believers. And what I want to do this morning is look at a couple of epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote and share with you the concerns that he had for young believers. And I think it will be an encouragement to you. Look at chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. I'll read a couple of verses here. Therefore, he says, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. Now get that. Here's Paul. He's sort of nauseated. He is in such turmoil. Because if you read about the formation of this little assembly, this church, local church, in Thessalonica, Paul was only there for a very short period of time. Then he left. And but you can see his concern because he knew and he had taught them over and over again. Listen, when I leave, here's guaranteed what's going to happen. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulation. I've told you this. I've told it to you again and again. And his concern was that here's these young believers, and he was so concerned that they would give up. Look at, you really get a picture of the battle that you and I are in and young believers are in. The curtain is open to this, okay? What do you see there? Look what he says. Look at chapter 2 and verse 18. Therefore, when we wanted to come to you, so Paul, what do you want to do? He wanted to go back. He wanted to make sure they were growing. He wanted to make sure that they didn't give up. They wanted to make sure that in spite of all the tribulations they would go through, that they would hang in there, okay? And what happens is that Paul says, I wanted to go back, but who stopped him? You read about it. Satan stopped him. Now, I don't fully understand exactly what happened, but he names it. He names, you know, you and I do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We know that. We wrestle against principalities, powers, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You know what? You know what, young believers? I think sometimes you forget that. You're in a war. It's invisible. And you don't see it. But Paul was trying to warn these young believers, listen, the day you get saved, you got a target on your back. And Satan, you read Ephesians and you read about yourselves. And I enjoy that passage because the diagnosis of where we used to be at isn't pretty, okay? Depraved, diabolical, dead in our trespasses and sins, and it ain't pretty. Then we get saved, we're brought into a new kingdom. We used to be in Satan's kingdom. Now, you know, like young believers sometimes are, you know, even older believers, sometimes we, what? Yeah. All of us. It wasn't, you know, like people sometimes say, well, I was always following, you know, I was always searching for God. No, you weren't. How could you be searching when you were dead? You weren't searching. God was searching for you. You weren't searching for him, unless you take Romans chapter 3 and throw it out. All of us were dead spiritually. We had no connection to heaven because of our sin, dead in our trespasses. We get saved, and we used to belong in the hip pocket of Satan. Because it says in 1 John 5 and 19 that the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. All of the world. And you and I were in that world. We were in that kingdom. Now, you might have not felt, well, I didn't do much for Satan. No, but you were in his hip pocket. He didn't particularly, he still doesn't like you. But he never liked you, but he had dominion over you in this sense. Like, it's kind of scary when you think of it. So the second Christian you get saved, you get translated out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God to declare praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 and 9. Now you're on his radar, my friend, and you better understand it. Because you'll never, and that's what Paul's saying. He was so concerned. He was nauseated, sick to his stomach, as it were, about these Christians. Because he said, you know what's coming? Trials. And you know what, guys? You know, do you have any experience in this? Where people were following the Lord, trials came in their life, or persecution, or both, and they abandoned ship. In your mind's eye, can you think of anyone like that? I can. When the going gets tough, they're gone. Trials in your life, Christian, will make you bitter or better. And that's what Paul was nauseated about it. He was so concerned. And you know what? When someone gets saved and comes into our assembly, we ought to be concerned about that too. If Paul was concerned, we ought to be concerned. We look around and we see young believers. And, you know, it says, here's what he did with Timothy. He said, Timothy, I can't go, but you go. And what did he do? Timothy went, we read about it. And I sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to what? Okay? Establish you or strengthen you, encourage you, and to keep anyone shaken by the tempter to give up. Proverbs 23 and 23 says this, get the truth and never sell it. Get the truth and never sell it. Hold on, Christian, to your faith. You're going to go through trials. Christ uses those trials in your life to build character. It says in James, hard to almost understand this, right? It's hard when you're going through a trial to understand what James is saying. Count it all joy, brethren. Count it all joy, brethren. Now, joy is not... joy, that's not joy. That's happiness. Happiness is circumstances. That's not joy. He said, count it all joy, brethren, when thou goes through various trials. Not when, right? It's not, excuse me, not if, but when. I remember when I got saved. I tell you, seriously, guys, I don't know if it was just where I came from and in my tradition and my culture and my family and my parents, it was generation, 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 and then I got saved. And it was like I could hardly breathe. I was so thrilled that I was once blind. I remember a bishop came to my office and pretended he had a problem. True story. He didn't have anything wrong with him. He came to my office. I was 4 days old in the Lord. And he came because my dad called him and said, you got to go talk to my son. Something's happened to him. And he came to my office, pretended there was something wrong, and I knew. I didn't know much, but I knew. You know what I knew? He was there to try and bring me back. I said, I ain't going back to that. I'm not going back to that. And you know what I mean, guys? Like, I had a joy. I had something I never had before. I had a peace that only God can give you. Do you understand that? Do you know what that is? If you're saved, you know what that is. And when you go through a trial, yeah, it's not like you're happy. But you have a confidence, a peace that only God can give you. Guys, that's what stands up to Satan when he attacks you. You know, Job, what did Job know? Job doesn't know what we knew. What we know, excuse me, right? Job, you read the story of Job. He didn't know it was satanic. He didn't know that that God allowed everything that happened to Job. God allowed it, but Satan was an instrument that God allowed. I don't understand. Like, guys, something's happened to you, and you can't understand it. You can't figure it out. Why? And a lot of people say, why, God? I don't understand that. But that's what Paul, see? Paul was sick about that. He was worried that these people who had given up their idol worship for Christ, they had given it up. And then he said, I'm so worried you're going to go back to what you, that the tempter would get at you. And not that maybe you would, you know, listen, once you're saved, you're always saved, okay? We're talking about the Christian walk and the Christian growth and the Christian maturity. You want to grow. And a lot of people, They go through trials, they become bitter. Have you ever met some? I have. Christians who are bitter. They're not happy puppies. And look, nobody knows in a way what they've gone through. Timothy was sent. You know what he was sent there? Christian, if you ever wonder what you should do, be an encourager. Because that's what Timothy was. Timothy went to that to encourage. Hey, guys, hang in there. It's worth it. If you're looking for wisdom, here's encouragement. You're looking for wisdom? Ask God. James chapter 1. You don't understand? Ask God. Maybe he's not going to show you everything. But do you trust, Christian, do you trust him? Do you really trust him? When the going gets tough, do you trust him? That's what Paul was sick about. And you know, as I was reading through these epistles, I saw Paul's heart and I said, God, give me a heart for people. Give me a heart for people to be concerned about where people's faith is. Give me that heart. I want the heart like the Apostle Paul. And then Timothy comes back and he said, you know what? They're doing good. They're doing good. They went through trials, or they're still going through trials. There's a lot of persecution. You know, some of us, we don't understand persecution in a way, okay? Like for me, I was persecuted to some extent when I got saved because I lost all my friends. I lost all my friends. All my friends that I used to party with and carouse with and do this and that, none of them, even to this day, are my friends anymore. You know, but I was so overwhelmed by what God had done for me. I had the can't help it. I couldn't help it. And I said, well, and look what happens. If you know, that's why, Christian, listen to me. God never, ever, ever wants you to live the Christian life alone. You belong here. Look at me. You belong here. God sent you here. You stay here and get encouraged. And you be an encourager. You know how many people this morning encourage me? Tony, we miss you. Not just for the sun, honest. No, seriously. I sensed it right away. Come in, and I see people here, people that I love, people that I care for, and they care for Tony, right? Unless you're faking. No, you weren't, right? But that's what we need. That's why we need each other, guys. And Paul was trying to hammer this in to the psyche of the Christians at Thessalonica. Baby Christians. Number one, trials will make you bitter or better. Now turn with me to Galatians, and I want to read, okay, again. You see Paul's heart, okay? I'm going to read chapter 4, 9 and 10, but you'll see it. Okay? Here's Paul. Here's his concern to the Christians in Galatia. A whole epistle is centered on this, and we need to get this, especially young believers, okay? But now, look at verse 9. After you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Christian, there's nothing. Let me say it again. And I have seen people shipwrecked by this in all my years of Christianity. This is one that sticks out like a sore thumb. You get saved, and Paul, when you read the epistle to the Galatians, man, it don't take you long to find out, Houston, we got a problem. Because he comes out right away, and he says, if we or an angel preach any other gospel other than what you have learned, let him be accursed. And then guess what? He says it again. He repeats it. And you go through Galatians, he says, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? What was he talking about? What is the problem for believers, especially young believers? They get saved by grace. They get saved by grace, and then they want to live by the law. I'll tell you, folks, I have seen this permeate the churches. I've seen this permeate the assemblies like nobody's business. When I was first saved, there was a thing going around, and it was popular for 30 or something years. You know what it was called? It was called Gothardism. You know what that is? Look it up. Google it. Okay? If you don't, you young people don't know what that is. That was a movement that was all over North America, and people, hook, line, and sinker fell for it. And you know what that movement was? You dress a certain way, you act a certain way, and anybody that doesn't, inferior to you. Paul is saying, who was a Jew of the Jew of the Jews? And guys, listen. If you think this isn't pervasive, listen to Galatians, because you read about two men there in Galatians. Take heed that thinketh he stand, lest he fall. What happened? He had to go to Peter. Imagine, Paul. He said, I went to Peter, and I got in his grill. You know what that means? Getting in a person's grill? That's a hockey term. Like, I got right into your grill. Face to face. You want to go? Elbows up. I've heard a lot of that. Anyway, you know, you guys are a tough audience. You didn't think that was funny? Jeepers. Okay, anyway. Paul had to go to Peter and said, Peter, you're a hypocrite. And then, maybe even more surprising, he went to Barnabas, his buddy, his co-worker. And he said, you know what, Barnabas? Right in his grill. And he said, you know what? You're a hypocrite. You know why? Because the Jews, I'm better than you. Guys, there's nothing that will appeal to the flesh more than legalism. I tell you, it is a cancer. It's legalism is a cancer. Because what it is, it's not of God, it's not of grace. It's looking down at, you don't even think of it. Peter was looking down at people who got saved because they were Gentiles. And they didn't have the ceremonies. And they didn't have the circumcision. And they didn't have the ordinances that the Jews had. And Peter was, well, you know what? When the other Jews weren't around, I'll have a meal with you. But the second all the Jews came, Peter said, I can't eat with you anymore. Guys, I'll tell you something. That you'll think you're spiritual. You think you're pleasing God. That's what Paul is saying. You think you're spiritual? You're not spiritual at all. That's not of God. Now listen, I'm not talking about doctrine, okay? By the way, here's me. I think what we do here is the way it should be. You want to talk to me about it? You want to do a Bible study with me? I'll tell you what the Bible says about assembly and about the way we operate here. I think it's 100%, but I believe it with all my heart and all my conviction, okay? But God has had to speak to Tony and say, you know what, Tony? That don't make you better than other people. You know what I'm saying by that? Because we can look down. I am just going to say it because I don't care. I used to have a radio show and a TV show when I was in Timmins with the gospel. It was called Touched by the Master's Hand. I would invite people to come on and give their testimony in there. And I had brothers tell me, I can't do that because you're not in the gospel hall. I just said it. You're not in the gospel hall. I can't do it. I can't come on your TV show to talk about the gospel because you're not one of us. The brothers won't like it. Hey, guys, you think that's spiritual? That's not spiritual at all. That's not, you know, it make people feel uncomfortable. But like I said, you know, Paul made people feel uncomfortable, including Peter and Barnabas. There's nothing that will appeal to the flesh like legalism. And we need to be careful because it's just a whole epistle is dedicated to it. Be careful, Christian. Don't look down on other people. You got people in different churches here in Sudbury. You don't have to go far. You can go, and I don't go there. I'll go there if they ask me to preach there. I've done that. I preach in a lot of churches in Sudbury. And I got no problem with it. But you know what I'm saying? You got the memo? That made Paul sick. It made him sick. Because he said, you guys are living, that's of the flesh. It's not of the Spirit. It's not of God. Now, you know, and that's what Jesus said, didn't he? Oh, Father, that they would be unified like you and I are unified. Okay? Unity doesn't mean uniformity. A lot of people think that. Oh, it's uniformity. You've got to dress this way, talk this way, live this way. You've got to pray this way. Oh, yeah. That's uniformity. That's not unity. Unity is, you know what? You're my brother in the Lord, and I love you, and I care for you. And you're my sister in the Lord, and I love you, and I care for you. Now, you might think differently than Tony Martin. You're wrong. I'm kidding. No, you might think differently, and that's all right. Okay? You'll have to answer to God. For, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get into the word of truth. Get into the word of God. Get your convictions. Can I say this, Kevin and Irvin, okay? Those two young men that, you know what? I love it because they got into the word of God and they're convicted about the assembly. Isn't that good? I didn't have to convince them. They got into the Word of God and said, you know what? I've known these since they're just knee-highs to grasshoppers, these boys. And they read and they study and they go, you know what? I like what we're doing here. Okay? I like what we're doing here. Here. Okay. Now, time. Okay. We still got time to do it. Colossians. This is an important one, too, because Paul, I hate to use the word again, he's sick. He can't take it anymore. He says this, and look at verse 8, chapter 2 of Colossians chapter 2. Okay? Beware. Hello? You guys, beware. Because this is a real stumbling block for people. What are you going to talk about? Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men and according to the basic principle of the world, and not, get this, not according to Christ. This is a trap. Again, especially for young believers, okay? This is a trap. What's the trap? Philosophy. Philosophy. Human philosophy. I'm okay, you're okay. We live in a world like that, right? Who are you, Tony, to judge? There's a lot of Christians who twist themselves like pretzels. You know how a pretzel is twisted? Into evolution. And they try and twist themselves like a pretzel to bring in, well, Tony, it's science. Guys, in medicine, in anything in the healthcare field, anything, you know what it's completely permeated by? It's not even a question anymore. Evolutionary biology. I heard a guy the other day, okay? You guys know, I'm in the food business, okay? I talk about food all the time. Carnivore. You know what that is? Put your hand up. Yeah, everybody knows what carnivore is, okay? Eating meat. And this guy said, the reason I believe in the carnivore diet is because we've been eating like that for 27 million years. I said, of course. That's science. Where did it get 27? I don't know. But it didn't matter. Nobody questions it. That's what they ate. Right? I mean, can you imagine? We're so crazy that we don't even question that. Evolution is so part of school, part of our education, part of our government, part of everything that you and I see every day, okay, is evolutionary. It's a lie from the pit of H-E double hockey stick. That's where it comes from. Paul says, okay, I am so scared that you're going to get caught up in human theology. And Christians, you beware of that. Because before you know it, you know, I'm sure Brent, he's at Laurentian there, prof. All of geology, I'm sure, Brent, correct me if I'm wrong afterwards, okay? Which you will. Is the earth is gazillions years old. Right? Trillions years old. Whatever. I don't know. All I know is what I read in the Bible. Okay? And I thank God. My testimony is this. Saved on a Thursday, Sunday, I heard my first message that I ever heard. And it was Genesis 1:1. It was for Tony Martin. I don't know if anybody else was in the building. I'm sure there were. I know there were. But it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I remember doing an exercise of faith with this up here and this here. And I said, if it's in God's word, I believe it. That settles it. If it's in God's word, it's settled. And that doesn't mean you don't study. It doesn't mean you don't read. It doesn't mean any of that. It's just that my God, there's nothing he can't do. I settled that question. Have you settled that? See, a lot of Christians don't settle that because they try and, well, you know what? Maybe God used evolution. He needed time. I remember being in a high school class. Once a year, they brought me into to the biology class in grade 13. Young people, look at me. There used to be a grade 13, okay? And the teacher there, I went to high school with him, so he said, "You come in, you get 90 minutes." And I remember there was a young lady got up after I gave a thing on creation. The young lady got up and said, "Hey, Dr. Martin, can I ask you a question? Do you really believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days, 24-hour days?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "What?" I said, "Well, I got a question to ask him. What took him so long?" Yeah, God. He's God. He spoke the world into existence. Do you believe that, Christian? I believe that. I've never, ever, ever had an issue with that in my head or my heart ever since. You see, Paul is sick about it. Anyway, I'd go into a little bit more, but let me get you the last one, okay? One more, and I'll finish on time. I promise. Okay? And this is found in Philippians, okay? When you get to Philippians chapter 4, here's a big, big problem for believers, okay? And so Paul gives you his testimony in Philippians, part of his testimony. And then he gets to chapter 4. You're all familiar with this chapter, aren't you? Chapter 4, Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You remember that? That's Philippians 4. Okay? Wonderful. The cure to anxiety. But here we are today. And look, I'm not minimizing. Please, don't get me wrong on this. Paul said, okay, read it for yourself because I'm out of time. But he said this, I'll read one verse. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am. Stop. Where are you? Whatever state you're in right now. Here's what Paul said. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Okay? I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things have learned both to be full and hungry. Blah, blah, blah. You know what he says? He learned the secret to contentment. Christian, be careful with this. Be careful with this fourth one. Be careful because the world, guys, is like gravity. It's a constant pull for you to conform to it. That's what the world is. The world to us is like gravity. It pulls, it wants you, doesn't want you to stick out. It wants you to come, conform your mind to the way the world thinks. And you know the way the world thinks? You know how the world thinks? Don't be happy. Don't be content. You're missing out. You're lacking something. And all of the advertising on TV, think of it. It's after you. It's after your family. It's saying to you, you know what? If you only had this, you would finally be happy. And Paul says, nope. Nope. He said, I've learned the secret to contentment. And I'll tell you, Christian, and I just end with this. I have seen Christians shipwrecked. Shipwrecked. Because they weren't happy puppies. And we got enough examples in the scriptures of the Israelites in the desert. And what were they doing there? Murmuring. Murmur, murmur, murmur. I wish I could go back. We had such good onions. We had garlic. We had, it was so much fun in Egypt. And I want to go, what was it, Steve?
For free.
For free, I want to go back. No, you don't. We got to be careful, Christian, because you can get caught. I can get caught into a trap. Tony, if you would have this, you're going to be a happy puppy. The folks in the desert, well, they shouldn't even have been in the desert, other than in a few days, because they didn't listen. But even there, they murmured and were unhappy and wanted, what's this stinking manna that I, you know how many times I heard in my office, by the way, okay? I put people on a 30-day eating program. I don't want to get into it. I just want to tell you about it, okay? And they go, you're restricting me. I said, well, get over it. It's only 30 days, right? Get over it. You're restricting me. Well, I don't mean to restrict you. I just want you to get your health back. Anyway, four traps. Trials. Okay. Legalism. Right? And we read about philosophy and human thinking, trying to put God in a human box. And the fourth one, discontentment. Okay, guys, I'm done. And it's early. And let me say this, okay? Are you happy I'm back? Or really now you're not so happy, right? Too bad, I'm back. Okay, I love you guys. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again so much for your goodness, Father. Thank you for the Word of God. And Father, I pray for each and every one this morning. You know their hearts. You know where they're at. You know their hurts. You know their concerns. You know everything about them. Oh, Lord, just pray that you'd use some of this morning, some of this from the epistles, oh God, just to encourage, to bless. Get us thinking. Get us, get our hearts right with you, Father. And Lord, I pray for each and every one. And thank you for this assembly. I thank you for the unity that we have in here. And I pray for that to continue. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.